You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Honey, it is so good to get away.
Oh no.
Zombies! Hold on, honey. Gotta floor it.
Before I hit the open road, I make sure my car is serviced at Perfection Auto Works. I want to be sure my car is running at peak performance for these unexpected road hazards, like zombies, severe travel conditions, and problems that seem to crop up. My family safety is my main priority.
Wow, honey, this is the smoothest vacation trip we have ever taken. I'm so glad you took the car to Perfection Auto Works to make sure all is well. Mwah.
Life is so full of unexpected events. Next time you hit the road or whatever else is in the way, make sure your car's in peak condition, whether going over rough terrain or smooth open road. Tune-ups, oil changes, front end work, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
At Aho Bikes, we realize that for many people, your bicycle is essential transportation or essential to your health. We are open, practicing safe bicycle sales, service, and repair with masks and gloves, and are here for all your recumbent, mountain, road, and kids' bike needs. Aho Bikes, 1301 East Aho, 294-1434. That's 294-1434 and ahobikes.com.
The Joe Walsh Show.
We may disagree politically. I may be a conservative. You may be a liberal. You may be an independent, a libertarian, an anarchist, whatever the heck you are. We all love the country. And if you can't take that first step, again, don't listen to this show. If you do not believe that the people who disagree with you politically love this country, if you can't go there, then I don't want to deal with you.
Weeknights from 7 to 9 on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
It's now over in Europe. The last three areas of resistance in Germany are falling apart tonight.
Very quickly, kind of a personal note. I had a timing belt that blew up in my car, which didn't let it run and blew up the motor. So I'm trying to think, give me an honest mechanic that can fix this thing or tell me what I ought to do that's going to make the most sense. So I went over to Mike Empring. I said, can you tell me about this car? He said, here's what I'll do with it. And he's going to put a new timing belt, a new engine on it, and it's going to be a new car when he gets through with it, and I'm going to give you a fair price, which he did, and he fixed it. It runs perfect. I didn't want any more car than what I had after I'd left Perfection Auto Works, and this guy's a great guy. All I care about, he was an honest mechanic who did the right thing for me, and I suggest if you have a car problem, you take it to Perfection Auto Works and take it to Mike Empring at 1046 North Beverly. He just fixed the car at a fair price. It runs perfect. Thanks, Mike.
The fault is not in our stars, but in ourselves. Good night and good luck.
For the past 20 years, Beth Ford has served Pima County residents as their county treasurer. Five times Beth has asked for the support of Pima County voters, and each time voters have responded with a resounding yes. Once again, Beth Ford asks for your vote for Pima County Treasurer. Beth Ford is committed to providing the most professional and efficient service for all of Pima County. Experience matters. Vote for Beth Ford for Pima County Treasurer. This message is approved and paid for by Beth Ford for Treasurer 2020.
For 40 years, I've been a cop who has worked sex crimes, child abuse, homicide, and domestic violence. I'm not a politician. I'm Chris Nanos. A cop wants to be your sheriff, unlike the current sheriff, who is a politician. I wouldn't spend my time in Washington, D.C. or hiding behind my office door. As your sheriff, I'll work to fix our dangerously overcrowded jail, cut our 911 response time, and vigorously recruit new deputies.
We need Nanos for sheriff. Paid for by Nanos for Sheriff.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you, and good afternoon. This is the most talked to, talked about, and listened to political talk show weekends in Arizona. Thank you for making that possible. And from the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me is Larry Bodine, delegate to the Democratic National Convention. one of the founders of Arizona Blog for Arizona. Arizona Blog for Arizona is probably the best blog in the state, so says the Washington Post. And, of course, he's president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, and I don't have time for his biography, or we'd have no time to talk. Here's Larry Bodine. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John. Always a pleasure.
All right, this experience of being a delegate to a convention in which you were not at the convention, but you were at the convention. Tell me how that unplayed and how it unfolded.
Well, as a delegate, you know, we always look forward to seeing each other and hearing all of the speeches, you know, in person. However, this convention was fantastic. It was just an incredible presentation of, you know, political viewpoints, solutions to our problems, and, you know, all the people I always wanted to hear from. So about a month ago, we all cast our votes to approve the platform and then to nominate Joe Biden. And that pretty much took care of the official work. During the convention, a lot of what we did didn't make it on TV. We were attending caucus meetings, and that was really interesting. There was I attended one for the Latinos. I attended one for labor and also one for rebuilding infrastructure.
You all did this by a visual effect, right?
Yeah. It was all Zoom meetings. You know, I host the Democrats of Greater Tucson every Monday, so I'm pretty proficient.
That's online too, right? Pretty much.
Yeah. It's been that way since I think March. But we, so I'm pretty comfortable with Zoom, and I really enjoyed it, you know, because you got to see the big picture in the evening, and then, you know, all sorts of, you know, practical, targeted kinds of programs. And, you know, John, it was like a four-day miniseries of how the future is going to look starting next January.
Wow. Give me some highlights of what you think happened at this convention for yourself and for the nation.
Well, there are so many highlights. It's first of all, Joe Biden gave the speech of his life. He was forceful. He was sharp. He didn't make any mistakes. And that's all he really needed to do. And the presentation, you know, the overall convention was designed, you know, to show that he and the Democrats, you know, we have empathy. We are filling in a huge blank in the Trump administration. They have no empathy for anybody. But the Democrats made it clear that they do. There was Barack Obama, who was really presented himself as sort of the moral conscience of the party. And basically, his speech was a 9/11 call. He was saying, you know, our democracy is at stake. And I don't doubt him. I think his best line was when he said, Trump treats the presidency as a reality show so he can get the attention that he craves.
Wow. Biden rose to the occasion, didn't he?
Oh, he certainly did. And it was just fascinating to learn about his life and all the hardship and heartbreak he's had to overcome, all the death and grief. And that illustrated resiliency, that, you know, life is not fair. It's going to deal you a lot of bad knocks. It certainly happened to me. But here's a guy who overcame them all and succeeded and still has a big heart, you know, enough heart to teach a little kid who stuttered. Did you see the...
I did see that, yes.
The one moment where the boy who was stuttering tried to read his speech.
Right.
And Joe Biden sat down next to him and showed him, you know, here are some techniques that I use. And he showed him a speech and he said, you know, when I'm talking, you know, here's how I emphasize the high points. It was just wonderful. And it was one of many really beautiful moments. So the boy who stuttered was one of them. The other one that really caught my heart was Gabby Giffords speaking. You know, she is just a picture of courage, you know, having to overcome all she did, having to learn to walk again, how to speak again. And she gave the longest speech since the shooting.
It's amazing. I knew her before the shooting very well when she was a legislator. We'd travel back and forth to Phoenix from time to time. She would appear on the show on a very regular basis. And I watched the recuperation of after she was shot and all this rehabilitation over all these years. She's just remarkable. And the bumper sticker is as true today as it was when people first put it on their cars, as Gabby continues to inspire.
Yes.
She does.
Yes, so. And she certainly does. And I got to tell you, John, the Democrats know how to put on a program. This was a convention that was like an airplane flying, and they were building it as it was flying. We got told in June, we delegates, that there wasn't going to be a live convention. And that's when, so they basically spent 8 weeks putting together this program that was just entertaining, interesting, informative, and utterly flawless. But there was one moment when I really got choked up. And I wondered if you could play the music on that.
The Dixie Chicks and the National Anthem from the National Convention.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we've watched, were so gallantly
streaming. You know, when I heard that, I immediately stood up and I put my hand on my heart and just sang along. And, you know, at the end of that, I felt proud to be an American. You know, I've always felt proud to be American, but it's been a while that I really felt it in my heart, and the Dixie Chicks just completely knocked me out.
We got to meet Carmela Harris, the next vice president of the United States, and I thought we knew her from the campaign, and we didn't. I didn't, but I think I know her better now.
Oh, I would agree. And she illustrated a lot of what the convention was about. You know, this was for Latinos, Pacific Islanders, Native Americans, folks of Indian descent, folks of African-American descent. She is the melting pot. And what I really liked about her is she's got fire in her belly. You know, she is can not only be heartwarming and gracious and kind, but she's got that prosecutor's edge, and I look forward to seeing the debate with Pence, where she is just going to eat his lily white butt, you know, and spit it out.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. How prepared do you think Biden is for the debate with Trump?
Oh, I think he's well prepared. He has had plenty of time to work on his talking points, and, you know, it's really pretty basic. So point number one, we're going to end the pandemic. I mean, that should have been done starting last January when Trump found out about the virus. Number two, rescue the economy, which he has done before. And I sat in on one infrastructure recovery, and there's a plan that the Democrats have to create a $4 trillion program. It's going to be a national infrastructure bank, and it's going to create 25 million jobs. And they're going to be working on mass transit and roads and bridges and water systems and broadband. So that's point two. Number three, he's going to talk about expanding health care. You know, in the middle of a pandemic, Trump is suing to take away health care from 20 million people. And with Biden in office, it's going to be rebuilt and expanded. And then a point that, you know, for the first time has been raised is it's time to end systemic racism. You know, I don't know that you can change people in their hearts, but you certainly can end a system that causes, you know, African-Americans to die under the knee of police. And all those videos that came out about the police and just the endemic and widespread racism. And then the fifth thing, which kids are going to care a lot about, is fighting climate change. You know, we're seeing that here in Tucson. You know, our monsoon has been a couple of, I think I've gotten rain two times.
Yeah, we got it once at our house, and there is no monsoon.
Sure. No, yeah.
We're going to pay a price for that, too.
It's true. Yeah, well, and it's happening all over the world. It's not just here in Tucson. And Trump has done absolutely nothing about it. You know, and just some of the simple things you can do are like build electric charging stations all over the country. Make them public utilities so people can plug in and make it easier to own an electric car. You know, you can restore our protections for the environment and for the air and, you know, to end tailpipe emissions and restore protections for endangered species. And, you know, there's so much you can do.
We're talking with Larry Votine, a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. We'll be back with Larry. Let me take a quick break. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Back in a moment.
Andrea D'Alessandro is one of the hardest working state legislators in Arizona. We need to send Senator D'Alessandro and her strong voice back to the House of Representatives in Legislative District 2, which includes part of Pima County and all of Santa Cruz County. Andrea's hard work as a proven and experienced progressive leader serves the best interest of Arizona. Independents and Democrats vote for Andrea D'Alessandro for the legislature in Legislative District 2 for the House of Representatives in the August 4th Democratic primary. This message paid for by D'Alessandro for Arizona 2020. Authorized by Andrea D'Alessandro. Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubbell, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue.
I'm Catherine Ripley, and I'm running for Pima Community College Governing Board for District 1. During my 26 years as a U.S. Naval officer and U.S. diplomat, I learned to make critical and strategic decisions when they were most needed. As an adjunct professor at Pima teaching political science, I've seen lives changed and our community enriched. Now I'm worried about what a post-pandemic world will look like. Therefore, I want to be your voice at Pima College. Visit our campaign at catforpcc.com. I'm Catherine Ripley, and I approve this message that is paid for by Catherine Ripley for Governing Board.
Since 1996, Sharon Bronson has served the people of Pima County with leadership, honor, and commitment to responsible government. Sharon led the way for the passage of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, which has protected environmentally sensitive lands while assuring new growth pays for itself. Sharon Bronson is a leader, and through these difficult times, we need her leadership more now than ever. Vote for Sharon Bronson for Supervisor in District 3. This message approved and paid for by Bronson for Supervisor.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Political Forum of the John C. Scott Show. From Professional Auto Works Studios, with me is Larry Bodine, Democratic delegate to the Democratic National Convention and the founder of Blog for Arizona. Washington Post calls it the best blog in Arizona, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Again, we can't do this whole biography thing. We just will not have time to talk. More highlights from the convention, Larry.
Yeah, well, the what I took away was the emphasis on three themes at the convention. Actually, four themes. You know, one was empathy. You know, as I mentioned before, there were lots of people, and not just elected officials and people giving speeches, but ordinary people that, you know, where the Democrats were able to demonstrate that they have empathy, which is entirely missing in Trump. Second thing is resiliency. You know, Biden overcame all of this pain and heartbreak and death and grief, and he's still standing. And then finally, the emphasis was on character. You know, one thing totally missing with Trump, and, you know, I think a lot of people are going to like Biden because he's just going to end the chaos, you know, the day-to-day, you know, nut storm that's just been going on. And I noticed several things are different between now and 2016 when Hillary won the popular vote, but not the Electoral College. Number one, we've got solid support from Bernie Sanders. In 4 years ago, the Bernie people were booing the nominee. This time around, you have Bernie Sanders on in front of the camera with all the other candidates, basically, you know, supporting Biden and saying we need a battle against authoritarianism, and he's going to work with progressives, moderates, and yes, conservatives. So that was a huge message from Bernie. Second thing that makes us different from 2016 is that according to Pew Internet Research, only 13% of people think that the country is headed in the right direction.
Good Lord.
That's an all-time low, 13%. So there's a lot of dissatisfaction out there with the way things are, John. Secondly, you know, Biden has all the momentum. He's got none of the baggage. He's got a plan. For instance, you know, I read the Democratic platform and was quoting for it in some of the articles I wrote. It's 91 pages, 91-page platform. And you know how long the Republican platform is?
I have no idea.
Zero. They have no platform.
Well, there you go.
They have no platform. They have no plans. It's just four more years of chaos and madness. And the other thing that I thought was striking was all of the Republicans who came out in public and said they're going to vote for Biden. So you had Ohio Governor John Kasich. You had Secretary of State Colin Powell. You had New Jersey Governor Christine Todd Whitman. And then you also had Meg Whitman, who was the CEO of Hewlett-Packard. These were all prominent Republicans.
I wonder how many Democrats will be speaking at the Republican convention. I don't think you'll be able to recognize very many of them.
Yeah, not going to happen. I'm going to be curious if they can get anybody to show up who isn't personally related to Trump. And so we'll see how that goes. You know, to me as a delegate, it was gripping. It was memorable. I'll never forget it. I got to know a lot of people, which was one of the things that I was hoping to do. Probably would have gotten to know a lot more in person because, you know, I love these big events. And
hopefully, so, 4 years from now, there'll be we'll go back to the conventions we grew up with. Yeah.
And sort of looking at the present, you know, we've got like 170,000 people dead because of the virus, and Trump has done nothing about it.
By the way, 19 Pima County residents died today from COVID-19.
That's just...
The death toll took a pretty serious jump today. It was running a couple of dead, daily. 19 in the last 24 hours, you know, so it's still with us.
It's just
got to be really careful.
Shocking.
Yeah,
it brought to mind the woman, Kristen Urquiza from the Phoenix area, she talked about her father dying of the virus, and she said he was a loyal Republican who voted for Trump, and that his own precondition was trusting Donald Trump, and for that, he paid with his life.
No mask, no distancing, apparently he followed Trump rather than the guidelines.
Yeah, well, he followed Trump, into the next world.
Let me ask you, there should be a bump from this Democratic convention for Biden. I expect that. I don't know how significant it's going to be, but, these numbers keep floating back and forth. I'm sure the race will tighten as it always does in the last 60 days. But I just can't imagine Biden not winning this thing. I just can't. I mean, from everything we've seen, everything we know, and yet people caution me all the time saying, no, Trump has a pathway to win. It may be a difficult path, but, you know, it's possible, I suppose. And that's why everybody ought to be involved in this one.
Oh,
I
no.
Mean, you know,
no,
you have
kidding.
To play today. You
yeah.
have to.
Takeaway number one, when you get your ballot, vote it the same day. Don't let it sit on your dining room table. Vote it and take it to a drop-off box or mail it immediately. And secondly, I encourage people to find a candidate. Pick a candidate that you want to support and go out and work for them.
30 seconds for Blog for Arizona. How do people find it? What will they find?
Go to just Google Blog for Arizona. It's blogforarizona.net. You will find some of the most intelligent, compelling, and new looks from a liberal viewpoint of politics and the world.
Arizona's Blog for Arizona founder, Larry Bodine, has been my guest. He was an award-winning journalist for the Daily News in New York. He's a lawyer. Now a delegate to the Democratic National Convention and a great friend. Thanks for being with us. Great to hear you talk about this convention from the inside. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome, John.
Larry Bodine, a Blog for Arizona delegate to the Democratic National Convention. We'll be back with Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party. If Trump is defeated, will he go to jail? We'll ask our lawyer, Jeff Rogers, after the news.
It's now over in Europe. The last three areas of resistance in Germany are falling apart tonight.
Very quickly, kind of a personal note. I had a timing belt that blew up in my car, which didn't let it run and blew up the motor. So I'm trying to think, give me an honest mechanic that can fix this thing or tell me what I ought to do that's going to make the most sense. So I went over to Mike Embring. I said, can you tell me about this car? He said, here's what I'll do with it. And he's going to put a new timing belt, a new engine on it, and it's going to be a new car when he gets through with it. And I'm going to give you a fair price, which he did. And he fixed it. It runs perfect. I didn't want any more car than what I had. after I'd left Perfection Auto Works. And this guy is a great guy. All I care about, he was an honest mechanic who did the right thing for me. And I suggest if you have a car problem, you take it to Perfection Auto Works and take it to Mike Emery at 1046 North Beverly. He just fixed the car at a fair price. It runs perfect. Thanks, Mike.
The fault is not in our stars, but in ourselves. Good night and good luck.
The words in the handout from Dr. Randy Freeze, Reeves, a doctor who gets results. These words sum up Dr. Randy Freeze's hard work and commitment to the voters in Legislative District 9. Dr. Randy Freeze has fought an unending battle for quality access to health care. As a doctor, as a veteran, as an educator, Dr. Randy Freeze has fought to improve the quality of life for all Arizonans. Dr. Randy Freeze is a legislative leader that gives Southern Arizona a voice of responsible government. Vote for Dr. Randy Freeze in the November 3rd general election. This message is paid for by Dr. Randy Freeze for House and authorized by Dr. Randy Freeze. Rex Scott is running for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. For almost 30 years, Rex has been an educator, working as a teacher and an administrator in public schools. Rex Scott's nearly three decades in public education gives him the experience in finding common ground and determining solutions to complex issues. Rex Scott knows District 1. He has served three schools within the district, Flowing Wells Junior High School, Ironwood Ridge High School, and Tortolita Middle School. Rex started his career in public service as the youngest member ever in the city council in his hometown of Athens, Ohio. With 23 years of service as an appointed or elected leader, Rex is far and away the best qualified person to be the next District 1 supervisor. Rex Scott pledges to be accessible, visible, a supervisor with leadership worthy of these challenges. Vote for Rex Scott for supervisor. This message is paid for and authorized by Scott for Supervisor 2020.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks for being with us. Jeff Rogers is with us. He is the former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County and one of the best defense lawyers in America. Jeff, let's talk some law things, because apparently the courts are going to try to reveal to the country and to the courts the taxes of Donald Trump. And perhaps that would lead to a very serious judicial problem for the president, were he not to be reelected. Do you foresee any possibility that Donald Trump would go to jail if he were not elected president of the United States?
Well, the more immediate problem is, can we get our hands on these taxes before the election? And that one I'm not very terribly optimistic of, because Trump has shown himself fairly adept over decades at tying things up in the court. Ultimately, he loses almost all the time, but or compromises and settles. But the fact is that he can drag it out. And if some court of appeals were to stay this action pending argument before that court of appeals or to the Supreme Court, then these could leak out after the election. What would be nice is if the courts would say, no, we've already decided that all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the new arguments you're making against disclosure are meritless, and we're not going to consider them at all, and you turn them over. And that, right now, that's what the order is. They've denied him a stay of the order, but he's welcome to go to the Court of Appeals and then argue to the Supreme Court that it should be stayed. And no, he's got... he's appointed several of those justices, and he's appointed an awful lot of federal court judges at the appellate level and the district court level. So that he will win in the long run, but can he delay it? And that is depressing, because I think that this is going to turn up a lot of really, really compromising stuff, including the laws that he's broken. I mean, the New York Times did a long article with the help of his niece, Mary Trump, a couple of years back, on all the scams they ran on New York State and New York City regarding taxes, and his entire family was involved. And in fact, his Trump's sister, who was a federal appellate court judge, had to resign rather than go through an inquiry by the court system as to her conduct. But the problem was that all of that was outside the statute of limitations, so they couldn't prosecute them. Now, this most recent stuff is within the 7-year statute of limitations, which shows you another reason why Trump is desperate to win this election, because he can run out the clock on the statute of limitations if he were to be reelected, whereas he knows that if once he loses this election and walks out of the White House on January 20th, 2021, he's going to be subject to being indicted in state courts in at least New York, maybe in New Jersey, and as well as in federal district courts all across the East Coast for crimes that he's spent his decades doing, but the ending product of those still falls within the 7-year statute of limitations. So,
what is the likely punishment?
Really running scared.
Well, likely punishment if he is found guilty on any of these counts.
Prison. I mean, it's they all carry prison times. But you have to keep in the back of your mind that, like for instance, Bannon, the thief who stole the wall money. People saying, well, he's facing 20 years in prison. Well, yes, the statute carries maximum sentence of 20 years in prison. But the federal sentencing guidelines for the money he stole is probably more like 11 to 13 years. And similar kinds of white-collar fraud cases generally get somewhere between around 7 years. So, but we're talking about 7 years is a long time, especially if you're in your 70s and closing in on 80 like Trump is.
By the way, you and I had a conversation about this wall money when it was being collected a year ago, and everybody was skeptical of that, going, no, come on, really? Where are you going to build a private wall on private land? There is no private land. It's all government land. How are you going to do that? And nobody explained how you're going to do it. They just wanted to suggest that they could do it if you gave the money. And there were a lot of people in Green Valley, some who I know personally, that gave out $100, $150, $500 in checks to Lord.
Well, let's give them their backhanded credit. They did build 300 feet.
Well, there you
300
go.
Feet outside of El Paso of a private wall with some of that money.
Mission accomplished.
But it was a scam, and most scams like Trump University and his casinos, you have to feel sorry for the investors who invested and got screwed by Trump. But it's kind of hard to feel sorry for some of these people who donated to the wall. It's sort of like, you were kind of asking for it when you got involved with scamsters like this. And, it's hard to feel sorry for people whose the basis of their donation was sort of hatred of others and keeping other immigrants out of the United States. It's, they're supposed to feel sorry for these victims.
Talking with Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party, how big a bump and how positive was the convention toward a Biden win in November, do you think, Jeff?
Well, unlike most conventions, we are so polarized as a society right now that I don't think you move the dial too awful much with any kind of a convention. I think what you hope to do and what they did do is you shore up the base support that you have, and you incrementally knock off a few people that were kind of on the fence and maybe leaning towards you. I thought that this convention really, really went well. We were sitting in our living rooms watching a lot of ordinary Americans in their living room telling their stories about how their lives are and what Joe Biden and the Democrats can do. And this convention really, really highlighted the character and decency and compassion of Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. There was a heavy emphasis on racial justice, which we can see has been a huge component of the American fabric for the last 3 to 6 months. It showed how diverse Democrats are, progressives, centrists, and moderate Republicans all united. I thought Biden's speech was the greatest speech he'd ever given in his life. I really thought that many of the other speeches, particularly Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, were very moving. I mean, they were very moving and touched the heartstrings of all of the American people, and yet took Trump to task for his incompetence. That's an important thing to do. I mean, even Michael Bloomberg came out and he announced from the very beginning, I'm not going to talk about what a bad guy he is. That's very easy to do, I might add. Let's just talk about how incompetent he is and how he's botched his job and shouldn't be rehired. That was a focus of his speech. And I think that's a good focus for a man like Michael Bloomberg, who's always been focused on results. And, he really is a billionaire, unlike Trump, who pretends to be one.
Let me ask you about the theme of the Republican convention, which begins day after tomorrow. Trump saying no one will be safe in our country, no one will be spared. This law and order theme, how effective can that be?
Well, I think you'll see they're going back to, you know, what we used to call dog whistles, but now sometimes they're you know, pretty out in the open, calls to white supremacy memes and to fear of minorities and immigrants. And I think you're going to see something wildly different than what we saw for the last 4 days in the Democratic convention. I think you're going to see it be all about Trump all the time. They're already saying he's going to be there every night, be on screen every night. Traditionally, entering conventions, the leader only emerges on the final night of the convention or makes, you know, kind of, you know, quick little entries like Biden did where he congratulated Michelle Obama, or when he congratulated Kamala Harris on accepting the vice president's nomination. So, but I think he's going to be all, this is going to be all Trump all the time. And I think that's a mistake for the Republican Party. You know, I really do believe deep in my heart that we really need a crushing defeat of the Republican Party across the board this November, because I think the only way the Republican Party comes back as a party of ideas and dignity is to get crushed, and for them to back up and say, oh, my God, look what Donald Trump did to this grand old party. And I think we'll do that, and I think it's well-deserved. And I guess the other possibility is if they really, truly get crushed, they could, you know, get worse. I mean, they could turn into the QAnon party. Trump keeps embracing these QAnon conspirators. Again, it's scary what the Republican Party could actually be worse in a year or two than it is now.
Removal of equipment in postal facilities across the country. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Manipulation of the people's right to vote. How much effect will that have on the outcome November 3rd? Let me take a quick break. I'll be back with Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party, talking politics in the election of 2020 after these messages. Pamela Powers Hanley is the progressive voice of the Arizona House of Representatives. Pamela Powers Hanley is a proud activist, a proud Democrat, and a proud Arizonan. Pamela has fought to preserve vote by mail in Arizona. She has battled to protect citizens from the deadly effects of COVID-19, and she has demanded sensible regulations that protect the health of all Arizonans. Pamela Powers Hanley asks for your vote in the August 4th primary election. This message paid for and approved by Powers for the People 2020. Pima County Health Department, under the direction of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, works every day to protect Pima County citizens. It is timely that one of Arizona's most respected physicians is stepping forward in the middle of this terrible pandemic to run for a seat at the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Dr. Matt Hines is a former member of the State House of Representatives. If we ever needed a medical expert on the Board of Supervisors, we need that doctor now. We need Dr. Matt Hines for supervisor. Vote for Matt Hines for supervisor. This message paid for by Hines for supervisor. Ethan Orr served in the Arizona House of Representatives. He was called one of the most effective House members in decades. Serving in the majority party, Ethan reached across the aisle, bringing both sides together to benefit Southern Arizona. Now, Ethan Orr returns to public service as a candidate for the Pima College Board of Governors. He is one of the most qualified candidates to ever seek this important position. Ethan Orr is the right choice for Pima College Board. This message paid for by Ethan Orr for Pima College Board. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party, is with me. Manipulation of ballots in the mail, manipulation of the postal facilities across America that would deliver or write in votes. How fearful are you, Jeff Rogers, that Donald Trump can manipulate his way to another term as president?
Well, I would use the word cheat, not manipulate, and I'm really concerned. I really am. The post office has been an independent agency since 1970, run by people who know and understand the post office. This is the first time since 1970, and maybe even before that, that we've had someone who knows nothing about the Postal Service running the Postal Service. And he's in there at the behest of Trump and his Secretary of the Treasury, Mnuchin. They say there needed to be some kind of economic shakeup. Well, we don't need any economic shakeup. It's not a business. It's not something that should earn a profit. And it probably would earn a huge profit were it not for the fact that in the early 80s, the Republicans, who had control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency at that time, imposed a rule upon the post office that no other federal government agency has to adhere to, and that is that they had to prepay all pensions and pension benefits into a trust fund so that when people retired, the money would be there. Well, nobody else does that. It's funded by ongoing contributions that come into the system at the exact same time as benefits are being paid out. And so that has, in essence, kind of crippled them in a way financially from becoming a profitable agency, but they don't need to be a profitable agency. And the irony of this is that the people who are going to suffer the most are going to be people who live in rural areas, veterans and seniors who rely upon prescription drugs to be mailed to them through the United States Post Office. We're already hearing people who say, I used to get these medical benefits on, you know, such and such date. Now they're running 1 to 2 weeks late and I'm out of my medication. This is a catastrophe for rural America and for veterans and for seniors and all because he wants to figure out a way to manipulate the vote.
By the way, he says he has no plans to restore these mailboxes that have been removed or the high-speed sorting machines that have been removed. He has no plans to...
Exactly.
I noticed the Washington Post just said that the House has passed a bill that would give $25 billion to the Postal Service and block changes that the Democrats fear could hinder the mail ballots. So I don't know how far that's going to go, but they're trying to do something about it.
The problem is because it involves seniors, veterans, and others, it's going to be hard to vote against this in the Senate. And if they both pass it, it's going to be real hard for Trump to say, well, I'm going to veto that, because he's already been on record as saying bluntly. I mean, a few times he'll say something really honest, you know, right out of the blue, and you go, oh, my God, he said what no one would say, which is, no, I've got to stop these mail-in ballots or I might not get reelected. I mean, the fact is that he understands that if a full and fair election takes place, he won't have a prayer. And so they've got to figure out a way, Republicans do, to suppress the vote. And now they're talking about putting squad cars and cops out. I mean, things that happened in the 30s, 40s, and 50s to cause minority voters not to go to polling places. They're talking about trying to do that again, to scare people away from the polls with law enforcement. Are you kidding me?
You're going to predict, I think, that Biden's going to win this thing, but will the Democrats take the Senate, Jeff Rogers?
Right now, if the election were held today, we would take the Senate, expand the House majority, and win the presidency. We got 2 months and 2 weeks to go. A lot can happen during that period of time. So but right now, I'm very confident.
What is the October surprise that's coming? We always have one. We had one with Hillary and the FBI. So what's this year's October surprise?
If I were to take my best guess, it'll come through William Barr's office. It'll be something that suggests that some part of the Russia investigation originally was partisan and was half-baked or something along those lines. And none of that will be true. You can't believe anything that comes out of Barr's mouth. I mean, the way you know he's lying is his lips are moving. You can't believe anything. He's been the most partisan and dishonest attorney general in the history of America. And that includes a few during the Nixon administration who were pretty reprehensible. So I think it'll be something that emanates from the Justice Department. That would be my best guess. I don't think Trump has it in him to take a chance on starting a war or some other conflagration that would be an October surprise. I think he knows that would backfire and could backfire horribly. So I don't think it'll be that. I think it'll be something in the Justice Department involving Bill Barr.
Jeff Rogers, it's always great to talk with you. Always learn from you. Thanks so much for being on our show today and giving us part of your weekend. I really, really appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Keep up the good work, John.
Thank you. Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party and one of the best defense lawyers in America. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. We're here every Saturday from 3 to 4. I'm so glad you could join us. Partisan effort, a progressive effort today from Larry Bodine, who was the delegate to the Democratic National Convention, and, of course, Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party. We'll move to a Republican perspective after the Republican convention in next week's show. Hope you'll join us for that. KVY, The Voice, this is the most trusted local news and talk in all of southern Arizona. And thank you so much for listening to our show. I want to thank Mike Emery of Perfection Auto Works for being the great sponsor of our show. And we hope that you will choose him when it comes to car repair for your family. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening. KVY, The Voice. Rex Scott is running for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. For almost 30 years, Rex has been an educator, working as a teacher and an administrator in public schools. Rex Scott's nearly three decades in public education gives him the experience in finding common ground and determining solutions to complex issues. Rex Scott knows District 1. He has served three schools within the district, Floyd Wells Junior High School, Ironwood Ridge High School, and Tortolita Middle School. Rex started his career in public service as the youngest member ever in the city council in his hometown of Athens, Ohio. With 23 years of service as an appointed or elected leader, Rex is far and away the best qualified person to be the next district one supervisor. Rex Scott pledges to be accessible, visible, a supervisor with leadership worthy of these challenges. Vote for Rex Scott for supervisor. This message is paid for and authorized by Scott for Supervisor 2020.
But they can make anything bad because they are the fake, disgusting news.
This is kayfake. Donald Trump was seen laying thousands of $100 bills near the Capitol building to repay the Russians for an easy election. Now the weather. Jane?
Thank you, Jim. Today it's gonna snow and hail.
But it's September.
Yeah, I know. It's all Trump's fault.
Do you often wonder if the diagnosis and estimate from your auto repair shop is, well, fake? Are you told the car needs one repair, and after that repair, the problem is still exactly the same? At Perfection Auto Works, when you get our free inspection and diagnosis, it's never fake. We back our repairs with our one-year, 12,000-mile warranty. Call Perfection Auto Works today for an appointment. 323-8650. Brakes, belts, emissions, complete auto repair. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.